You're listening to The Swinger University with Ed and Phoebe, an educational podcast about swinging. Nothing in life comes with a manual, so our intent is to provide a concise podcast to help make sense of the complex and fluid nature of sexuality and swinging as a hobby. You will hear about our growth, challenges, and excitement through our personal stories. We will offer our suggestions on what works well and what doesn't each step of the way. We appreciate the existing Swinger podcast community and hope our offering will enrich an ever-growing sex-positive society. This podcast discusses sexuality between consenting adults and is intended for mature audiences. We are not licensed professionals, and this podcast is for entertainment purposes only.
Starting the conversation.
You want to do what?
Today, we're going to be talking about how to have that first conversation with your partner about swinging. This is a big icebreaker that will impact your relationship. We will cover ways to bring up the topic, dive into those conversations, and discuss the importance of good communication.
This is how we started our conversation about it. First of all, let me say that I had some history about this in my 20s. I had learned about swinging when I was with another partner. I'm not quite sure how I found out about it.
Wasn't it one of your coworkers or someone in...
No, I don't know how I... Oh, now I remember. I had been in this type of religious commune thing.
You could just call it a cult.
It was pretty much one step away from a cult. Yeah. And there was a lot of open things going on there, and I was quite confused, coming from a parochial background and raised Catholic. So once I had stepped out of that almost cult, the partner I was with was quite a few years older than me, and I had approached him at one point about this topic, thinking, oh, well, he's more experienced. It was more of a thing when he was growing up. Maybe it's not a thing anymore. Maybe that was just a product of the 60s or the 70s, right? And when I approached the topic with him, thinking, oh, yeah, he'd totally be into it because, like, he was a drummer and he seemed really open. No, he did not like that at all. That topic went downhill fast, and I was kind of disappointed because I was really interested in learning more about that.
Yeah, and you were in your 20s and probably
experimenting and very learning about the world and so it was a very brief moment, and then that was done, and then God, I don't know.
Didn't think
20 years and more went by, 15 years, who knows? It was a long, long time before it ever crossed my path again.
Yeah, I'd been in a previous relationship and it had been discussed here and there, but there were so many insecurities in that relationship. It just never went anywhere. It was just conversation as it went. And I had started listening to podcasts. And one of the first ones that I'd started listening to is the Sex is Fun podcast, which of course eventually evolved into Life on the Swing Set. But those podcasts started, at least Sex is Fun, started talking about non-monogamy, started talking about swinging, and it piqued my curiosity again. I hadn't thought about it in a long time. I was in a really good relationship with Phoebe here, and things were fun. We were having a good time. So it wasn't any of the reasons, that usually are associated with trying to get outside of the relationship. It just sounded fun, and it sounded like we would both have a lot of fun. So I brought the conversation up, and it was kind of a curiosity for both of us, and it was more of a desire to understand how it worked. It was this strange problem that we both started wrapping our heads around. Like, how do you even start? Where does it go? Like, this was the very beginning for us of this very long journey that we've been on. And just understanding not only the dynamics of how it would work for us or if it would work for us, but just how does it work in general? Like, how do people get their heads around this? And like Phoebe said, you know, her background, and my background was also fairly religious. There were some things set up in our past that didn't align or didn't seem to align with this very well. And we had some challenges to kind of think different about the whole thing.
Yes. I remember that journey and that process, and being a researcher, I love diving in and finding out why people do things and how people overcome things. And it fascinates me. It frustrates me when I can't understand something or when it bumps up against my own thinking and it causes discord, which forces me to investigate further and figure out, why did this cause discord or discomfort in my body? That must mean I don't have enough information. I need to find out more. Right. I need to balance this out. Yeah. I need a well-rounded perspective on this.
Yeah, clearly I'm not understanding something about this, you know, that I'm missing a piece because this makes sense for somebody else. So,
and works well for them.
Yeah, clearly. So how do I get to that place?
Right.
How do I become comfortable?
Right. Or maybe not. Or I just want to be happy with the understanding.
Yeah. You know? Or at least go, I have tried this 7 ways from Sunday and I still can't figure it out. So clearly it's not meant for me. Right.
But it's okay for other people, and I'm satisfied with that. Yeah.
Right. So the next question really is, what do you say to your significant other, and how? So, like, how are you going to bring it up? We brought it up because I started talking about this podcast I was listening to, and I said, I heard something funny on the podcast, and it sounded interesting. So I tried to phrase it in such a way that it wasn't personalized. I kind of took the emotion out of it to just say, just kind of to drop it out there and see whether she picked it up or not, or how she picked it up. So first, hopefully you feel safe bringing up this topic. I mean, this is a really important topic. So you've got to be in a good place in your relationship to even bring up the topic. You should have a good sense of what your partner likes and dislikes, and hopefully you understand some of their
kinks,
sexual deviancies or preferences, or, you know, and it, at least you've got an understanding of sexually what excites them. And, you know, you'll also, I mean, we had this, you kind of have this intuitive sense of how to approach it based on how long you've been with that person, what your relationship is like. You know, how do you bring up anything? Honey, I want to buy a sports car, right? You know how to kind of bring things
up. What?
Exactly. And so it's your personal knowledge of how to have conversations with your partner. You better have a pretty good grasp on that. Like, if you haven't figured out how to bring up something potentially controversial with your partner, this isn't going to go very well.
So you need to find your in. Maybe you both like porn. Maybe you both like watching porn together. Some people watch porn separately. We had never watched porn together. Well, actually we did a little bit. But even then I had weirdness about that because I thought, no, this is something you do in private. Like, masturbating.
Right.
It's very private. It's very personal. And nobody watches.
Well, unless you're lucky.
But having sex in a group room where everyone sees you,
right,
that's fine.
Which is ironic because I think we'd already been to a few parties by the time we'd had the conversation about masturbating in front of each other, which was hilarious.
Right. I was like, what? No, we don't do that in front of each other. Oh, no, but it's fine just to have sex in public. Yeah,
that's right. So one of the opportunities that porn has in terms of bringing things up is there's a film, a video, mm-hmm. for every type of fantasy that mm-hmm. you can possibly think of. So, men, women, threesomes, groups, there's, mm-hmm. if you can think of it, there's a porn for it. And, you know, depending on where your kinks lie, there's some, the more mainstream stuff that kind of deals more with swinging in general. Maybe your partner really likes watching threesome porn. Maybe they really like orgy porn. That's their thing. Maybe they just like watching lesbian porn. There's some pretty strong indicators that give you an opportunity to see what stimulates them. And that might be a way to bring this conversation up.
Right. So those would be some of the hints that you would get to start that conversation. One of the hints that I gave Ed was I have a strong appreciation for women. I think women are very beautiful. I don't consider myself lesbian, but I do really appreciate women. I think they're gorgeous human beings. And if there was a hot woman rocking her outfit, walking down the mall with confidence, swinging her hips and her boobies were out, I was like, damn, she looks good. And Ed would say, he'd look over at me and he'd be like, yeah, she does look good.
Yes, indeed.
Why, she sure does. But that's what I loved about Ed, because he was always very respectful in his response, and he didn't like drool all over the floor,
right,
and like careen his head backwards and start falling over when he was with me. He was always,
tastefully
always
very respectful. Appreciative.
Yes, because I had been with partners that would do that, and it was very disrespectful. But you always made me feel number one, and you always make me feel number one.
You are number one.
I love you.
I love you too. Now, one of the things to realize with all of this stuff is even with an appreciation of other women, even understanding and watching porn, remember that it may only be fantasy. There's lots of things that people like to watch, but not necessarily act out in their real life. It's fantasy, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to kind of step outside of yourself and enjoy those experiences as that. It's very safe. Now, when you start talking about your partner and you being involved in that, well, the seatbelt's off at that point. I mean, there's no training wheels. You're in it.
Right.
You don't have the safety of, I'm just watching a screen someplace and these people don't see me and I don't see them and there's no personal involvement. So keep that in mind.
Right.
That fantasy doesn't always translate into reality.
Correct. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, especially the hot women at the mall.
Right.
The likelihood of them turning around and going, hey, big boy.
You want to come back to my place? Woo!
That is one of our fantasies, but that's a totally different topic.
The other thing you had mentioned was having conversations with what we call vanilla.
The people who don't classify themselves as being swingers, kinksters, or non-monogamous in any way. I mean, these are your next door neighbors, more right. likely than not. Right. And yeah, we've been at several vanilla events, birthday parties, things like that for friends, where sexy conversation is going on.
Sometimes sexier than at the swinger parties.
Right.
Which was fascinating to us when we first started getting into this. It was so confusing to me.
Absolutely. We'd heard a story at a birthday party about a woman who was nude sunbathing in her backyard. It was a very hot story. And her husband was very concerned because she was feeling very amorous at the time and decided to grab him and
give him some oral
right there in the backyard, and he was freaking out, and she
the neighbors might see. Oh yeah, she's like, whatever, they're peeking through the fence, that's their problem,
right? Which is one of the ways that you might actually start to realize that your partner might be into something more like this, and that's exhibitionism and voyeurism. The fact is, when you're in a swing environment, you're going to be having sex in front of other people. Mm-hmm. At least one other person.
Yes.
If not an entire room of people who you were just dancing with and now are all naked, sprawled across multiple beds. There's a spectrum here. Comes in a whole bunch of different flavors. So voyeurism and exhibitionism, in other words, watching people and being watched, is a pretty good sign that your partner's at least open to something a little bit more kinky. And at least open to some of the situations that are involved in a swing environment.
Yes. You also may get lucky when you're on your morning walk. Maybe you're walking the dog. Maybe you're taking a little morning jog. You forgot your headphones that day, and all of a sudden, you hear some really sexy sounds coming out of someone's open window. And you might just happen to pause, bend down. You know, your shoe came untied or something, and you just have to linger there for a little while.
Yes.
Take in the sounds along with the tweet-tweet of the birds.
I was going to say, the sounds of nature.
Sounds of nature.
Filtering in from through the bedroom window.
This could be a sign of voyeurism.
Right. Because if your partner's out on that walk with you and they're like, "Ooh, do you hear that? Oh, that sounds so sexy."
Yeah. Maybe you have this little conversation right there on the sidewalk outside their window.
Yeah, we've had a couple neighbor experiences. Oh, and the other one that we particularly enjoy is being in a hotel and having the competing sounds from the neighboring rooms. That's very sexy.
Who can bang the bed the hardest on the wall?
Some people get annoyed by that. We get aroused by that. So
yes.
Different strokes for different folks. But yeah, listening to your neighbors and your partner liking listening to other people or at least being voyeuristic in that way is also a pretty good sign that they might be open to it.
We've already talked about podcasts and, you know, if your partner's listening to that kind of thing, you know, could be a way in.
You could recommend a podcast to them. You bring that conversation up. You're like, "I was listening to the most interesting podcast and I thought you might listen to it too."
Right. You could also just get lucky and your partner just brings it up to you one day and goes, "Hey,
ta-da.
You know, I've been really thinking about this because of X, Y, and Z."
And your response is, "Well, funny you should say that. I've been thinking about the same thing," which is kind of how our response went. I brought it up and you were like, "Funny you should say."
Exactly.
And away we went.
So now that you've got maybe an in, you've got some hints, some behaviors, you feel comfortable in your relationship, you feel safe bringing up the topic. Now it's, you know, embarking on that communication. And when you do open that up, just expect to have a lot of communication about it, especially in the beginning.
Right. Lots and lots of conversation. You've cracked the door open to this wide open world where you're exploring your boundaries. You're trying to recategorize your relationship. There's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. There's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of research in terms of where are the parties? How do you start a profile? What do people say in their profiles? Like it's, you know, in many respects, it's exactly like dating if you're single, but you've got two people and the challenges are a little bit higher because dating sites for couples, meeting couples is not quite the same thing as single life. And that will be a topic
a whole
in and of itself.
Other topic. And it's not necessary. I mean, for us, it was a lot of research just because of who we are. And that's our personality. We really like to research things. and be well informed. But other people just jump in with both feet and they just figure it out. We've met several couples like that and they're like, hey, you know what? It sounded interesting. We thought we'd try it. We're like, what?
They look for a party. They went on Craigslist at the time.
Yeah. And boom, they just showed up to something. They didn't even have a profile. They weren't even on a dating website.
Right.
And they found a whole nother avenue of connecting with people, this whole underground connection, and started connecting with other couples that had small house parties. And they were very lucky in that regard. I always thought that was very lucky because
I agree. Yeah.
It's hard to...
We had a long, slow road to it, and I think it was good. We were very well-intentioned with the whole thing and methodical and cautious, and I think it was important for various reasons.
Right.
But the other key part of this communication that we went through a lot in the beginning was really understanding our own sexuality, understanding what worked for us and why it was exciting. In other words, you know, why are we doing this? Why would we be interested in doing this? And I think that is a key part of understanding, you know, why are you changing things? And that I think was a lot of the communication that happens between couples. And that's, there's a reason why you're saying this and understanding that reason. Is it because you're not getting something from the relationship, or is it because you want to extend the relationship and have even more fun? Mm-hmm. We like to refer to it as a hobby because it's something that we do together to have more fun together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people go on amusement park rides. We just go on other kinds of rides.
Whee! So, you had something about talking about what turned us on in general. What were you thinking about that?
Yeah, so as we went through, and this, I think this happened a little bit more at the beginning than it did now, and that was really trying to understand, well, as we had experiences in the lifestyle, we had more and more conversations around things concerning sex. So initially it was just, well, why are we doing it? And eventually that kind of changed into what things really turn you on? How do you even stimulate yourself? And that's when the conversations came up about, you know, masturbation and positions and really understanding basically our sexuality even more. Like, we went into greater detail about our sexuality and had lots of conversations about our relationship, not our relationship with other people and that dynamic, but just we would hear or see things and go, does that work for you? Do you like that? And our understanding of our own bedroom time got better and better and better because we were actually forced to have conversations about it. Things inspired us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So just know that this is going to be a test. A test of your, not a test at Swinger University, although, you know, we might want to design a test. That would be kind of fun.
A little pop quiz.
Yeah. Pop quiz would be pop quiz. Pop. It will test your relationship and ability to communicate with your partner in a completely different way. We haven't already communicated that in some way already, but bringing this up, maybe that significant challenge to your partner or together about everything you believe in a monogamous relationship. It'll challenge concepts and ideas that you grew up with, or maybe not. I mean, maybe you had a different upbringing. My upbringing was Catholic, so I had some ideas to concepts that were really hard coded in there that I didn't think were there. And, you know, I thought I had eradicated those years ago.
Right.
That's part of that. But they're cult, not cult.
They're ingrained in you. Yeah.
They are. It's amazing how they start to come to the forefront when you start challenging ideas and concepts. that are outside the norm, or they don't seem norm. You know, you don't see them as normal, but then, you know, what is normal?
Right.
You know, normal's what any...
And I think that the trick about that is if you're always kind of playing in the box, in mm-hmm. other words, the things that happen most of the time in most people's relationships, it's comfortable. When you start trying to break out of those things and you start asking questions that don't fit that norm, then you may not have had to think about them in the context of your own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So the example you were going through was when you were single and you were dating, you were on the hunt. And that was a mentality that you had
mm-hmm.
where you were actively looking for somebody.
Yep.
And so you were looking for the hot guy, the whatever thing at the time.
Right.
And your brain actually switched over into that. I'm actively looking for that
yes.
next partner.
Yes.
But when you were in a relationship, your brain would switch over to I'm in relationship mode.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That, and then by basically being in a relationship
mm-hmm.
and switching over to hunt mode, your brain was all out of whack.
I was like, wait, that was really confusing. It was weird.
Yeah. Well, it's a conscious decision to do something that you would normally train yourself to not do. You know, it's like the guy when he's walking next to his girlfriend, like your mall example, putting a neck brace on basically to keep his head straight because his head's on a swivel normally.
Right.
You know, he's looking around, but he knows he's either going to get punched by his girlfriend, wife, whatever.
Right.
And so he consciously trains himself to not look and right. or at least get really good at looking like he's not looking.
Right.
And this lifestyle and this conversation that you're starting is switching that, and you are going to consciously step out of that comfort zone. You're out of the box. You're out of that normal constraint for what a relationship is, because you're doing things that people in relationships, quote, shouldn't be doing.
Right.
It's
like flirting really flirting with other people.
Right.
Usually at events, you're not, I mean, you're
flirting with intent.
Flirting with intent, yeah. Within the safety of your relationship.
Right.
Which was weird because, yeah, we'll get into that. Because it seemed very unusual to me because, like, you don't flirt with other people if you're in a relationship. You're like, what?
Right, because that's that whole hunt thing. That's where, you know.
It felt disrespectful.
Right.
So there's this experience that you get to where you feel you're respecting your partner, but you're still flirting. So like when in the mall, you're walking by my side and you are still very respectful, but you are very aware of the sexy woman in the mall. Now, if you were really on the hunt and we weren't together, you know, and this sexy woman gave you a look and you spun around and you started like, hey, giving her the eye and the wink, wink and whatever, you may have met up and exchanged phone numbers, but you were with me, so you didn't, right?
Right.
But you still looked and you still raised an eyebrow and smiled and she appreciated that and I appreciated that.
And I elbowed you and said, hey, honey, look at that.
I know. It was sexy. Anyway, respect. It worked.
Yeah. And I think that's the key thing that this episode is really about, and it's you're going to have this conversation, but you have to do it in a respectful way. You're bringing something up that is going to be hard for your partner to hear, potentially. Maybe not. Maybe it'll go really smoothly.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's confronting personal and your partner's fears, and that is going to be brought up,
right?
Which is really important to listen to your partner's response. Watch their body language, watch their eyes, listen to them if they're pausing, if they're visibly upset. And you're either going to have to answer for why you said what you said, or you're going to have more conversation about it to, you know, rationalize it in some way. And I think that the other thing that's important about this is it worked out for us and it's worked out for most of our friends mm-hmm. in terms of having this conversation and where they ended up. But you should brace for the no. It is possible that your partner is not interested. Now, hopefully you've picked up on enough signs where if it's a solid no, you wouldn't broach the subject except for maybe in fantasy or explaining that to her in fantasy, but asking her to step over that bound or asking your partner to step over that bound. You should have gotten enough warning signs ahead of time to just not go there if you know that it's going to be a hard no. But it's still possible, even with a partner who's receptive, they watch all the right porn, they have all the right conversations, they like, you know, having sex in public, that's all good. And then when you go, hey, you want to bring a third in? They go, you want to do what?
That seems to be a theme, a trend. And be okay with the no, because at times I have said no, and we've taken a break because I needed time to process some of my own thoughts and ideas, not knowing that we would ever come back to it. And you were totally okay with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And sometimes there are, or rather, I should say, there are couples that just like to come to the events and experience the sexy environment, dress in sexy clothes, and have a really fun, sexy time with their husband or their partner. And they don't do anything with anybody. They just enjoy the environment because it's very free, it's very open, and it's non-judgmental. And that's all they do.
Right.
Or maybe they go in the playroom and they watch for a little bit, but that's it. And so while your partner may say no to swinging, there's a large variety
right.
of what swinging is. Sometimes it's just going to events and doing what I described. Sometimes it's just the woman gets to play with another woman because maybe she's bi and the man doesn't play. He just watches. We've right. seen that too. And that's totally fine and okay. And that's sexy. It's something they can do together. It expands their communication, their sexuality, and it works for them. The gamut is out there. It's
right.
amazing.
And I think the really important thing to hear through all of this is because you've had this conversation and you've broached it and you've watched for the signs, it's still an opportunity. So
right.
even if you don't decide that you're going to open your marriage up or your relationship up to other people, you may still decide to go to an event to just be the voyeur or the mm-hmm. exhibitionist. And there are, right. as you said, lots of people who do that. The good news is you've already opened up that conversation. Mm-hmm. So in some respects, you have opened your relationship up. It's just in a different way.
Right.
So I think that's a great takeaway from this is you never lose by bringing stuff up to your partner. If you enjoy something, you have to bring that stuff up. You have to present it to them. And I would say that if you're in a relationship where you don't feel like you can do that and you can't have open conversations with your partner, you may need to reevaluate your relationship in some way. You may need to have another conversation with them about figuring out why you can't talk to them about things and why your sexuality is so guarded. That could be a problem. And that's a whole other topic to have a yeah, conversation with.
That's true. And I do understand your point, but to the gamut of other relationships out there, there are a lot of other relationships where people are just in it for the companionship.
Absolutely.
They haven't had sex in 10 years, honey, and they just love hanging out together, or they just love, you know, having someone around. And you know, some people don't even vacation together. They go on vacations with their girlfriends every year.
Right.
And they still don't have sex. But they're just companions, and that's okay.
Sure.
If yeah. you want that for your life, I am not opposed to that. Like, absolutely. If it works for you, that's great. Some people want other things. Like,
yeah, and I think as long as both partners are happy in that, then that's
yeah,
perfectly fine.
Whatever you want to do.
I mean, this is your relationship. You get to figure it out however
you want to. It's yes, the world is your oyster.
All right. So in conclusion, like many things in life, if you're not ready to start this conversation, how will you have the harder conversations about kissing other people or grabbing another person's cock? Yeah. And this conversation will be the start of many conversations and hopefully a deeper understanding between you and your partner.
Thank you for joining us for this episode and listening to Ed and Phoebe at Swinger University. Please send us comments, or if you would like to share a personal story, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us via email at swingeruniversity@gmail.com.